Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Houston, Texas and Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Houston Bigfoot. We got a great show tonight. Our buddy Matt Delph is here. I would like to welcome my co-host, Kyler Smith. How are you doing tonight, Kyler?
I'm doing great, John. Thank you.
Well, good. Matt made a funny statement. He said something about how cool it was over in Houston. How hot was it today?
Yeah, I want to say low 90s again.
Oh, that's nothing. Heck, we get 100-degree days here in beautiful, sunny Myrtle Beach. We know all about that humid weather. It's great. Anyway, our guest tonight, we asked him back again, is one and only Matt Delph. Matt, how are you doing tonight up there in the cool of Ewing, Virginia?
I'm doing pretty good, and it's right around 90 here is what it's been. Then it'll rain, get humid, sun come back out, and just make it worse.
Exactly. So, that's kind
I'm
of what we got.
Everybody else.
We've been in the mid-90s to a little higher than that. It's been brutal, but that's okay. It's summer. It's Myrtle Beach, and that's what we're expecting. So anyway, I guess the news on everybody's mind right now, or at least those of us that delve into the paranormal, is that CERN is back open. Wow. How totally exciting, because we don't know what they're doing. Do we, Matt?
No, we don't. It's supposed to be running for 4 years, too, continuously, I guess.
Well, what are they going to do for 4 years? Create a black hole or something? Or create a portal?
Very possible. I mean,
that'd be interesting.
Well, we'll see. As long as they don't destroy the Earth when they do it, I mean, you got to be careful about creating portals. I mean, those things are dangerous. You don't want to be walking into them. Matt, have you ever walked into a portal?
No, but I've had a couple team members that have. Got
what
it on video,
did they
too.
Say? What did they say when they walked into a portal?
It was kind of interesting because you couldn't see it with your own eye. Well, it was nighttime, too. And it was a cube-shaped object, and they had stopped it, or the Army Ranger had stepped into one, and he noticed right then from his military training, everything, his surroundings had changed. And so he stepped out immediately. Another guy that was in there, that's my team member, he stepped into it, and he said that everything went dark, no stars, nothing. There was, in the middle of this meadow, there was, you know, you got grass and stuff out there. All that was gone. He said it was just solid darkness all the way around him.
So he stepped out.
Yeah. But they had some weird stuff kind of happen along with that, where they disappeared, and then he had reappeared. It was like later on the other part of the field or the meadow, and a lot of strange activity around that stuff. And what's kind of interesting is this whole portal thing, like what they're doing it like 30 other different places. It's just not, you know, it's a big one in the news that's going on. They've been running tests like that down here in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, at the nuclear plant. They're running all this nuclear power down this thing with magnets and trying to create like a mirror universe. They've been doing that since, I believe, 2014. But for a portal to open, the professor from Iowa, as I was stating last week, said that you got to have a zero magnetic field and like so much energy from like a solar flare, has to have a solar flare and everything to make it open. What's interesting is the Indians used to talk about the portals, they were circles within circles. So to me, that would be a natural occurring portal. This that they stepped into was a cube. So it was symmetrical. So it was made by a third party, whether it be extraterrestrial, our own government, who knows. But it was made by a third-party entity. It wasn't just natural. And that area,
okay.
Now that area, what was cool was the magnetic field there is way off. We were out there, and like I said, a lot of these guys are military guys that I research with, and we're out there, and we're getting readings, and we take a radiation reading, and there's always a spike in radiation, which means extra energy whenever we have activity, and around, we take base readings of the radiation stuff in the area, and what was interesting was that one day, I'd asked him, I said, well, I said, that way is north. I said, because moss grows on the north side of a tree in the northern hemisphere. It grows anywhere, but the sun always rises in the east and sets in the west. So the north side of a tree is less exposed to the sunlight. So moss, usually from the waist up, if it's it'll grow, be on the north side of a tree. That's why on your house, sometimes you get moss growing on the north side. It's always north side. So I told him, I said, well, that way's north. So he pulls out his compass because he thought that was interesting, and he pulls out his compass, and his compass, it's going off the magnetic field, you know, right below us there, and it's way off. It's going kind of nuts. So we know that area is perfect for portals, et cetera. So
now what area were you
in?
What state were you in?
I can't give out that information. It's in the southeast. That's all I can say. I've written affidavits and non-disclosure forms, but they may come. They might show some of the evidence if, but I know they won't give out location. But they talked about a lot about what's going on there and our research there, but they still won't give out the location.
Well,
but all I can say
is the
Skinwalker Ranch in the southeast.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what happens, because I'm guessing no one's going to stop them.
No, So, but yeah, the whole thing, their deal today, they started it back up, and it's supposed to run for 4 years consecutive. A lot of people think that's what's changed the Mandela effect, you know, where our changed our timelines.
Well, I think all that, the Mandela effect's been going on since the dawn of time. And we've just now, with the help of the internet, we're starting to recognize that it's there. But, I mean, I think it's been around forever is what I think. And that's as far as I can go. What do you think, Matt, and then Tyler?
I believe there's different areas. I think we'll a parallel universe will jump timeline sometimes, and it'll overlap and change what we thought was history, and we're in a different timeline. And they've changed.
I've never actually.
Well, answer yes, Kyler.
Ahead,
what
I'm
were
sorry.
You saying?
I've never actually heard that term before. What did we explain it a little bit?
The parallel universe, or the Mandela effect.
No, I mean the. Nelson Mandela effect.
The what? I'm sorry.
I swear
you
someone
the Mandela
was talking about the Mandela.
Oh, the
yeah.
Oh, okay. That's where, do you remember, what we remember from the past is different from what everybody remembers. If you go back and look, and it's totally, some of the examples are, my favorite one is, I was a huge fan of the, Bernstein Bears. Now it's the Bernstein Bears, not Bernstein Bears. If you go back and look.
I remember when I was commuting to Myrtle Beach to Raleigh, North Carolina State, I remember the longest drive in the world was from was down I-95, where 95-40 all the way down, from Fayetteville to Lumberton took forever. Now it takes 35 minutes. I remember that very well. It took for like a 15 minutes to get from Fayetteville to Lumberton, but now it's a lot closer. So, I mean, I would think that distance is different. So, I mean, you know, there's lots of things going on. And, you know, you can't really discount the Mandela effect, because I think everybody's had experiences where they remember something not the way other people remember it. And Matt, do you have maybe another example?
Well, the ones that are mostly given are stuff like the newest one out is, you remember seeing the movie Risky Business with Tom Cruise? Remember whenever he come out in his underwear and his little button-up shirt and he's dancing there? Didn't he have on a pair of black glasses, sunglasses, while he done that?
Well, I think every time that I ever saw the movie, he did.
Well, it's he doesn't have those on now in the, if you watch the movie. So, you know, that's another one that they've come out with. What was it? Another one was the Monopoly guy. They said that the he had an eyepiece. And if you look back at it now, he doesn't.
Well, he certainly did.
I was thinking he did.
That is a caricature of Mr. J.P. Morgan. And he had a top hat,
yeah,
and he had a monocle or an eyepiece.
Yeah.
Of course he did. Anybody knows.
Wow, yeah, I didn't think about that.
So it's where kind of like the butterfly effect, which you remember from one timeline, might be a little, I don't know, quite call it a butterfly effect, but what we remember of the past, if we're in a different timeline now, it's going to be a little bit different from the timeline that we come from.
And that so-called amazing.
Yep.
Wait, that what? You kind of cut out on my side.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Can you hear that now? Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I was saying, you know, in 2012, when the Earth actually ended, we all jumped into another time stream. And the world was different. A couple of bad things on the Earth, strange things that happened, you know. But anyway, I tell you what, it's been enjoyable talking about this. Love talking about the Mandela effect and everything. You're here to talk about UFOs and Bigfoot, so let's continue this marvelous discussion that we were having last week, okay?
All right.
You said you had some great results in Pennsylvania, right?
Oh, yeah. Pennsylvania has always been a hot spot, southwest corner there of Pennsylvania, and especially like Fayette County, the UFO and Bigfoot activity really spiked in like 73 and 74. I'm thinking within a year's time there was like 276 reports. I'm not positive, but I think it was 276 reports of like UFO and Bigfoot activity out there during that time, and a lot of it was around Fayette County. And whenever I started doing the UFO cross reference with the Bigfoot, whenever I started working with Angela Shear from MUFON, we're doing the cross reference and we're looking at all the common denominator stuff that was going on in these areas, and 73, 74 really stuck out. And Stan Gordon, he's a UFO investigator. And he got into a bunch of cases up there in the year 73, 74. And one report was in Fayette County that really stuck out was they had a UFO, like a red sphere up over this farm and out in this pasture. And when they went out there to the pasture, that they seen that thing. It was a half-shaped sphere then when they got up to it, but it was hovering above the field. And then beside it, over along the fence line, there were two Bigfoot type creatures standing there covered in hair. And one was like 8 foot tall, another one was 7 foot tall. Well, I guess the farmer, and he's there with his sons and stuff, and the state troopers are supposed to be on their way, but he's got a 30-06, and his boys telling him, shoot it, and he goes to shoot this thing, and he's got, I believe they said that there were two tracers, and a tracer bullet is you can see where it's going. Whenever you shoot it, you can follow the light of it where it's going. And they said this Bigfoot type creature, the bigger one, tried to grab it as he shot, and then he shot several rounds into the bigger one. He said that they heard a high pitched sound, and it was like screaming, but he just kept firing, and it didn't even seem to faze him. It just kept staring at him, and what was interesting, though, was when they were going up tube to see what this thing was, their truck, power and everything the truck was acting up. It was acting funny. And back in those days in 73, we didn't have as much electronical stuff, you know, like the cars nowadays, all the chips and everything that they put in them. But it was still like draining the power from the truck. And I've experienced stuff like that out in the field before. So when they get up there, you know, he fires those rounds, and it's just staring at him. It didn't hurt it. It didn't do nothing. And they got scared because it just kept staring at them, and it started making that high-pitched sound again, and they got out of there. But during that whole time frame, they had so many cases. It was just happening. Like, most of them were during daylight, too. And they had, you know, you had a UFO, a beam of light shooting down straight into the woods where these creatures would be. You would have just different things. I mean, they would have one appear on one side and it would disappear, and then all of a sudden it would be on the other side of the vehicle. And a lot of people reported also these things draining the power on their cars and stuff like that, flashlights, if it was in the nighttime. A lot of stuff like that going on, which is pretty interesting, I think, because I've experienced that out in the field.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, do you have a little bit older truck, Matt? I can't remember.
No, I don't have an older vehicle. I've got a newer vehicle. The stuff that I've experienced was mostly equipment. This was, I think, 2 years ago. Can't remember if it's 2 or 3 years ago. I've been so many times on expeditions. But in an area up there, and it was up in Clayton, I had a strange feeling about this one road up there, a four-woman road. It's an old campground that's been shut down. And I take my car up there, and a research friend named Dwayne, he's never experienced any activity or anything. He's wanting to learn. So he goes with me. We got a base camp set up, and it was a VFRO expedition. And I was a speaker for them. They wanted me to speak and talk to the group. Well, I was scheduled to speak at 5 o'clock that day. And this is the first time anything major has really happened as far as electrical and stuff like that. And so I'm like, well, I got plenty of time before 5 o'clock because we had some free time during the day there. And I'm like, I want to go up this one road to that old campground. So the guy, Dwayne, he wants to go with me. And so I'm like, okay, cop in, you know. So we're driving up, and it's an old road. It hasn't really been maintained. And you get up so far up the mountain, and you have to have four-wheel drive. And we get up there as we're going so far, and then I can't go any farther because one side is a bluff. It'll drop off the side of the mountain. The other side is rock where it's been cut out. The road's been cut out. So I have to turn around. So if you've ever seen Austin Powers where he gets that little thing stuck in the hallway and he's going back and forth in that little cart, that's what I was doing basically with my car, trying to turn it around on this huge cliff. Well, as soon as I get it turned around, I come up around this bend, and a huge rock just boom on top of my car. So I bow up in the middle of the road. I'm like, what in the world was that? And I get out and look, and Dwayne gets out, and there's this huge rocket. It's laying out there on the road. Puts a small dent in the hood of, or the top of my roof of my car. And I'm looking to see where it come from. And for this rock to hit my car, it had to come from this bank where it come from up high. And so I'm looking up there. I don't see nothing. There's mountain laurels up there. And I'm like, well, it just didn't fall because it would have fell straight. It wouldn't have come at a, you know, like a looping effort. And I'm like, somebody threw a rock at my car. So I toss a rock up there. And this is, like I said, way up in the mountains. We don't come across any people, nothing like that up there. And it's an old closed campground at the very top of it. And toss a rock up there. Something big starts moving through the laurels. And Dwayne, his eyes are huge. He's like, holy cow, you know. He's like, what is that? And so I'm looking at him, and it goes towards the side where he was standing underneath the bluff, so it stops. So he takes a rock, and he throws it up there. So something big, it starts moving again, and it kind of freaks him out. He's like, oh, wow. And I'm like, I'm looking at the time, and I'm running behind because I'm supposed to speak at 5 o'clock. So I put a big stick in the road, make an X in the road on the side of the old logging trail so I know where to come back to. And I get back down to base camp, and I'm already late. It's like 5:20. Everybody's like, what? You know, I'm like, I'll have to explain, you know, after I do my lecture. And so I get Lori Wade. You know Lori Wade?
Yep.
And so she's got four-wheel drive, so we can go through
that. Lori
just
posted on Facebook for the first time in a long time, didn't she? Like yesterday or the day before?
I don't know. I think she posted some stuff about her family. She had a
4th
of July celebration.
Yeah.
But she leads BFRO and a lot of expeditions. She's been on lots of them. And so she's like, well, I got four-wheel drive. We can go up there. Well, so we load up in there that night. We go, we find the X in the road, and so we know right where that rock got thrown off of, what area to go up to. Well, we get up there, and once we get up there, I'm shining thermal imager into that, the laurel, and there's a field there, but nothing, it's not showing anything. My flashlight, the power shuts down, phone goes dead. My thermal imager will not show an image out there. It should have showed the trees, something. It's showing nothing. I turn it back around towards the vehicle where it's parked on the edge of the road, and you can see the vehicle. It's working fine. I turn it back around, nothing in that whole area. I'm like, well, this is odd. So we walk around out there a little bit, and then it goes completely, the battery on it goes boom. Gets completely drained, phone's dead, and flashlight won't work. So same thing with Dwayne. So we walk out of there, and Lori's feeling sick. She's got a headache. She's got a massive migraine. She's feeling upset stomach. So we drive up the road a little bit and get out. Equipment's working fine. We power it back up. Working fine, batteries at like 80%, flashlights working fine, and she starts to feel a little bit better as we left the area. But that was really probably my first major, I don't know what it was, but something had drained our battery from that area. And the only thing that could have thrown that rock, it would have had to have a thumb, you know, to grab it. Can't say it was a Bigfoot because I didn't actually see it, but it was something, and something drained the power of our equipment there, and she got physically sick. So, you know, that goes a lot, and you'll hear that a lot of activity whenever you have these UFO and Bigfoot sightings.
Well, I wonder how close you guys actually were to it.
That's a good question, because we couldn't see nothing. It's dark, and I don't know. I mean, where that thing threw the rock from, we had walked up pretty far up into the field, and we seen the set of laurels, the mountain laurels there, and there wasn't you couldn't see the laurels or anything through the thermal. Flashlight wouldn't work. It was nuts. Everything just completely drained.
I wonder why it would have thrown something at you, because if they would have just left you alone, you probably wouldn't have gone back to check it out.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't know. That's what, kind of makes you wonder. Is it just messing with us? Is it whatever it was, you know? It's kind of like I always use the theory of, you know, you're walking down a trail, you see a snake. Some people kill the snake. Some people throw a rock to scare it out of the way. And some people just walk around and leave it be. I don't know. Maybe they thought we was going to stay around up there, and they were trying to scare us away through a rock. I'm not sure. But if that rock wasn't thrown, we'd never even been back up there.
Makes you wonder why that campground was closed. Makes you wonder why that campground was closed down, doesn't it, Matt?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's one of the signs that there's activity. That's why I always, whenever I'm looking up reports and stuff, I'm always looking at campgrounds that are being closed, them doing controlled burns in certain areas. There's lots of things I've had through the years that can lead me to an area, and I usually have activity. And you can ask them why they're not closed or whatever, and they can't give you an explanation. They just say, well, it was shut down, and they usually cut you off whenever you're asking the park rangers or whoever. And another area that's like that with the park being shut down, the campground, is, remember when Elijah was talking about Standing Stone where Mary Green would research? I've been up there a lot up there. And there is an area, there's an old campground with old cabins and stuff. And the locals say that they shut it down because of Bigfoot activity. But the park rangers won't tell you. They just said that he shut it down. And what was interesting is they keep an eye on that area too. And I've had some reports that's on the backside of that old campground. I snuck in there one day, and I went up there, and I was looking around. It's a different feeling up there. But later that evening, I was wanting to scan. There's like it's a pond. And they made a dam, and they turned it into a swimming hole. So you've got the spring-fed creek, and it's got a pond where they used to swim and stuff in there. Well, it was about 10 o'clock at night, and I don't know if you guys are familiar, but Glenn Williams, he's a BFRO member, and he was on the Mississippi episode of Finding Bigfoot. But me and him were going through there, and I said, well, it's 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, pull over here to where that old campground is. I want to scan the pond or the swimming hole, the old swimming hole, and see what I can see out there with my thermal imager. Well, as soon as we pull up there, I get out. He hasn't even got out of the vehicle yet. And it's either a park ranger or game warden. He comes whipping right in on us. He asked Glenn, he said, what are you doing? He's like, well, he's just wanting to look at the old swimming hole. I showed him where the old swimming hole was. And he goes, at night, you can't see nothing. So, of course, he comes up to me and he's questioning me. I told him I just wanted to see what kind of animals and stuff are out there. And I've got my thermal imager, and I'm scanning the area, and I hand it to him. He said, oh, that's pretty neat. And I said, yeah, I just want to see if I could see anything, any animals or anything out here drinking along that. And he goes, well, he goes, you might see some beaver. Said you might see some deer. And he goes, you might see a Bigfoot. And I was like, Bigfoot, you know, I kind of act stupid. And he said, that's what they say. I said, well, have you seen anything? And he just paused and he hesitated. And he goes, let's just say I've heard some stuff. And that's all he would go with it. So, I mean, that right there to me is perfect, you know, proof that I could tell right away he had experienced something, whether he had seen it or heard it, he had experienced something. And like you said, it goes back
to that quake too.
Yeah, he's watching it.
Crap, I had a question earlier. When you guys went up to that camp to see the watering hole, did you guys feel sick at any point at that time when you guys went up?
No. I never felt sick whenever I was up there at that place. I didn't. Now, the last time with the one with the rock at that camp place, I didn't feel sick. It was Lori, but she stayed in the vehicle,
right,
too, and she felt sick. But I didn't feel sick then, and neither did Dwayne that was with me. He didn't feel sick either. But our power, everything shut down whenever we stepped into the field, and we turned around, and thermal imager was working at first, but it wouldn't show nothing on the side where the rock was tossed out. But it would turn around back towards the vehicle, and the vehicle would show up and everything else, all the trees and stuff. But when you turn it back towards the area where that rock got thrown, it would show nothing. And then eventually it just shut off. The whole power shut off, and I had to repower it, moved it back up after we left out of there.
Boy, so you guys did get to scan the pond over there?
The pond I did, but whenever that pond, I didn't see anything. But I did. Now, I don't know if it's pareidolia or what, but I always take pictures when I'm investigating an area.
Matt, please explain pareidolia for people that do not know. You and I know, but a lot of people might not.
You'll see a lot of pictures, and people will see things in these pictures, and they'll put a circle around it because once they start investigating a lot of this stuff, to them, everything is Bigfoot. Everything is Bigfoot. And they will make circles within these tree lines and say, this is a picture of a Bigfoot right here. And it's kind of like, you know, how people look up into the clouds and they'll say they see Jesus or they see angel.
Yeah.
And that's how it is, same way with the woods. And it's huge in the Bigfoot community. A lot of them do that. And I'm always skeptical. I'll never say anything to Bigfoot unless I physically see this thing. But I took some pictures of around that pond during the daytime when I was there. And as I got scanning, I took two pictures when I first got there. And I was standing on the little dam, took two pictures, didn't move, snapped two pictures of the pond, snapped two pictures at the cool-looking little dam that was there. And I took, when I was getting ready to walk off the little dam thing and go back out there, I took two more pictures right when I left. Now, I took six pictures within a minute. Then whenever I go back and I'm at home, I'm scanning through the pictures, looking at the wood line, stuff like that. There is a darker figure in the second set of pictures as I was leaving in this one area that wasn't there in the first two pictures. And like I said, timestamp, it's all within a minute. And I was standing in the same place when I snapped these pictures.
Now, were you by yourself, Matt?
I think it was Charlie Raymond was with me. He's from Bigfoot. He's a BFRO member out of Kentucky. I believe he was there. I think he was the one that drove us. And I just told him to stop here because the park ranger, game warden, had somebody. They were kind of occupied. They had somebody that was trying to go up into the old camp. And they had them, and they was standing at the gate where it's gated off, and they're talking to them there. And he's like, hey, they got somebody here. We need to go. So I just snapped the two pictures, and then we left. And then when I got back home, and I start looking through them, and I can send you the pictures, John, and tell me what you see. But there was something. It's something different. I don't know. It could be the way the light's shining or something like that, but I'm not sure. I just know that in the first two pictures, it's not there. Second two pictures, it's there. So I can let you guys analyze them and see what you think.
Now, what is the form of that image, of that darker image?
It looks like a figure. It looks like a figure there. Some people said it looks like it has a snout. I don't think it had a snout. I don't know. I mean, but the thing of it is, it's kind of, I'm colorblind. So they're telling me it's a green, like trying to blend in with the stuff, but it's not there. I mean, you can clearly see there's something there that was not there before. And it's like it had tried to camouflage itself in, if it is something. I mean, it could just be, like I said, it could be just maybe looking at it, and it could have been, like I said, I don't know a whole lot about cameras, stuff like that. Maybe something caused it, you know, for this thing to be there whenever I was taking the pictures, you know, the second time around or whatever. But it's all within a minute. It's not there in the first two pictures, but it's in the second two pictures as I was leaving. And it's all taken within a minute. I mean, it's still the same exact time. I took the first two pictures as the last two pictures, and I'm in the same area. So I'll have to let you look at it, but it looks like it's something camouflaged in a way. Like I said, you know, I can't say it's a Bigfoot. It could be just something with the camera or the way it happened, but I'll let you guys decide. I'll send you the pictures.
Sure.
And,
that'll be great. Now, would we be okay to put the pictures up on the Scarycast page?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, that'd be fine, most definitely.
Okay, be glad to. That'll be great. Well, now, first of all, that's really a couple of good stories, and I want to say we're almost over time for me to say thank you, WLSC, AM and FM, Loris Conway, Myrtle Beach, the home of Banana Jack in the Morning, and Little Town Big Talk with Marshall Biddle and Banana Jack Murphy, and I'm on there sometimes talking about the paranormal. So be sure to join us. He's also available on tigerradio.com. So anyway, WLSC, AM and FM, Loris Conway, Myrtle Beach. Thanks a lot for having us and being a sponsor of our show. Back to you, Matt.
Okay, good. But yeah, that, I mean, you know, the whole, that's where you start getting into what they call the woo. But I don't think it's woo, because you can back all this stuff up with science. I mean, so it's just where people don't want to accept they can't think outside the box.
Well, it's not that you can back it up with science. You can back it up with your damn eyes.
Well, that's true, too. But, you know, they're like, where's the, you know, they're, this is what you'll always hear. They're always like, we research off science. I'm like, well, it's scientifically proven. This can happen, this happens, and this happens. They just choose not to look any deeper into it.
Right. Now what you're doing, and I always like to bring out, I've got a sheet of paper here. This, you're talking about my favorite entity in the world to discuss, and that is the skeptic. Oh, I love to talk about skeptics, because they turn tail and run when I get after them. Did you know that, Matt?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They'll
okay,
block
here,
it.
Here,
they won't debate
here
about
are,
it.
Well, here are the five things that skeptics try to do. First of all, they try to attack the person. Oh, well, he must be an alcoholic, because that's why he saw this. Or he was on drugs, that's why he saw this. Or he's stupid. In other words, attack the person. Don't attack what they saw, just attack the person. That's probably the biggest thing that they will try to do. The next one is, well, it just didn't happen that way. I don't care what you saw. It just didn't happen that way. Right. Number three, well, others didn't see it, and I didn't see it, so must not happen. It's kind of like the Dixon County Screamer that Elijah has talked about. Just because nobody much has heard it doesn't mean that it's not for real. And there was a farmhand that was killed, deader than a doornail. And, well, you know, I mean, didn't see it, so it must not be real. And then eliminate evidence. Well, you know, like in The Lizard Man, Chris Davies, he had a car that was torn up by the Lizard Man. And one day he got home from school, and he said, Dad, where's the car? Well, I got tired of the whole thing, so I jumped it and I threw it away. That's one great way to just get rid of evidence. Stops you cold in the tracks, even though I do have plenty of eyewitnesses that saw that car. And then finally, just ignore evidence. Like,
oh, well, just because there were police reports, that doesn't mean anything. Or just because there were 14 articles in the newspaper, that doesn't mean anything. So those are five typical ways that skeptics try to stop you dead. Because skeptics don't do any research. They don't do any research. They just want to come at you with what I believe are one of these five examples. So that's what skeptics are. And, Matt, you probably dealt with a few, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I deal with them all the time. I deal with them continuously.
And do me a favor. The next time you deal one, say, Dr. John wants you to call him. Here's his number. And stand there and let him call me, and I'll have my briefcase with me because I always have it. And I'll say, well, now let's see what you were trying to do. Which one of these five things were you trying to get all mad about? Oh, I'll call him out. We'll have a field day with him. But anyway, I'm sorry. I had to jump in there with my skeptic talk, you know. But it's true. I mean, this is what they try to do. I'm going to write a book about it if I can ever get a chance. I'm tied up with books that I'm writing right now because I find a topic that's interesting and I want to write about it. So,
yep.
I mean, what more can I say? Like, I'll give you an example, then I'm going to let you keep talking because you're our guest. But, you know, so we're talking about Land Between the Lakes. And, of course, Elijah mentions a topic that sounds great, Vampire Hotel. That sounds like a cool thing, doesn't it, Matt?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well,
yep.
Do you know that there was a cult murder of two people in Florida based on kids that were hanging around the Vampire Hotel? Did you know that?
I knew that there was some cult activity around it, for sure.
But now, let's get into the dirty. Okay, so I do some research, and I find out that the guy that killed those two people is in jail. He did that in Florida, but he's in jail, been in jail for 26 years in Louisiana. So I call up my attorney. I said, Tom, what's the deal with that? He said, oh, no, he couldn't be in jail in Louisiana. I said, why? Because Florida would have had to have extradited him because he committed a capital offense in Florida. And so what if I tell you that the hearing that they just had to try to change his sentence was in Louisiana? And what if I told you he's in a prison in Louisiana? And the first thing Tom, my very smart attorney, says is, John, something's not right about this whole thing. I said, well, I assume I call the clerk of court to get a transcript. He said, that's exactly who you call, and I want you to bring it up here to Washington, and we're going to spend a day going over it because something's not right with that. So now I've uncovered we used to have a show called Murder 123. I have uncovered something that's not right just from sheer curiosity and Elijah Henderson saying the words, Vampire Hotel. Now, Matt, don't you think that's cool that you can find a great story just from somebody mentioning a little fantastical place up in a campground?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And nothing's coincidental.
And I love this story. So he told me who to call. He looked it up while we were talking. He said, call this number. He said, and you'll do better than I will, because if I tell him I'm an attorney, they're going to laugh at me because I don't know how to do things in Louisiana. But if you are a layman calling up, you probably will get nicer treatment, and you might get what you want for a good price. I mean, they'd charge me $1,000 for that court report, but they might charge you $50. Who knows? It just depends on who you get on the phone. And I said, I know all about that. So anyway, because when I was trying to do some research on the Lizard Man, going over there to Sumter County and trying to get information from the Sumter police, it was going to be $1,100 to get a copy of the trial on the murderers of Christopher Davies. So, I mean, it was just like, you know, they don't want that out. It's under freedom of information, but it's under freedom of expensive information. But anyway, all right, Matt, now you know what I go through as a writer, correct? Tyler,
yeah.
That's what I do every day. I am talking to my attorney. I'm trying to figure out how to get stuff and how not to let it cost me an arm and a leg or my life. Well, be careful about that. All right, Matt, back to you. Let's get another story about Bigfoot and UFOs and all kinds of great stuff. Yes, Kyler?
Did you have a question, Kyler?
Oh, I was just laughing because that made me laugh. That was funny.
But I thought you were getting ready to ask a question.
I'm glad I made you laugh, Kyler. Or was it me, or was it Matt, or was it both? Oh, who knows? Go ahead, Matt. And Matt, thank you for being here tonight. You're a lot of fun. So keep
thank
it going.
You for having me. I thought you was going to ask a question there right before we, Kyler, before that you had a question.
Well, actually, you know what? You're probably right. I think I did, but I just forgot because I was laughing at what John said. But
because I was so humorous. Thank you.
Exactly. Yeah. If I remember it, I'll interrupt you and ask.
Okay. Most of that, like I said, in Pennsylvania, something about that Chestnut Ridge, all that whole area, like I said, from 73, 74. Now, see, they didn't have all these eyewitness reports and stuff. They were talking about these Bigfoots just vanishing, turning into orbs, disappearing, them shooting them, and they just vanish. And back then, they didn't have the internet. They didn't have, you know, so all these people, all these eyewitness reports, you know, they don't know what this other person said. They don't know anything about this other, but they've got all these common denominators with the Bigfoot and the UFO activity, the strange light, the, you know, stuff like that going on. And so back, you know, that right there kind of shows you that they weren't just listening to different things and making stuff up. They're just telling their report what happened. Now, how can they all have the same similar, you know, the witness reports? How can they all experience the same thing somewhat? Each one might be a little bit different, but still it's got something twist more than just a flesh and blood animal. Now, I still believe that there's a flesh and blood Bigfoot type creature out there, but I believe you've got these things that come from maybe outer space, that could come from anywhere, that are covered in hair, but everybody always wants to classify everything covered in hair, walks bipedal, as a Bigfoot. So, you know.
All right, well, Matt, then tell us, other than a Bigfoot, what could one of them be? Now, I just saw a post on the internet about the Googlies. You know about the Googlies?
The Googlies? No, I have not heard them.
Oh, they look terrifying. They have big jaws, pointed teeth. It looks like a cross between a dog man and a Bigfoot. And they'll come get you. They'll come eat you. And I've heard Robin talk about them. I've heard Duke Sullivan talk about them, and they're very, very dangerous. So what else could one of these things be other than a Bigfoot?
Well, I believe it's a different alien race. A lot of the tracks that they had found up there with all these UFO sightings were three-toed tracks. They were massive, but they were all three-toed tracks. Now, if you've ever heard of a devil monkey.
That's a lizard man footprint.
Yep, they leave a three-toed track. So does a devil monkey. A devil monkey does as well. And a lot of people are not familiar with the devil monkey. And I used to think that that's what they were.
Tell us about a devil monkey. Tell us.
Okay. And it really hit the news in, I think it was 1934 in Pittsburgh, Tennessee. The town had actually tried to hunt these things down. But they're aggressive. They stand. They run on fours, but they stand up upright as well. They have a tail. They got a snout. They look more like a baboon. They have a three-toed track, and they're very aggressive, fast, very aggressive. They they were all over the town, tried to hunt them down, and there's been reports of them all the way up through the Appalachian Mountains. And there's been, so I'm saying, you know, you got misidentification of things. So I'm kind of curious if this is a different type of primate or a baboon type thing. But they say that they describe them almost perfect, just like a dog man in a way, that they've got a snout, they've got the bigger upper body, but they can stand on, they got the canine leg and stuff, but they can stand upright and walk.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Kyler, are you ready?
Oh, I'm waiting for you to say it already.
Okay. I met a fella from some little town in Kentucky. It's about 5 miles in from the Tennessee border, and it's about 45 minutes east of the Land Between the Lakes. I just met him on Facebook. We started talking, and he's from there, and he lives in Portland, Oregon. And he did what everybody seems to do with me. John, when my fiance goes inside, I need to talk to you. And the first thing I said was, I got a story now. I know I got a story. So he starts telling me this story about how he goes outside in his backyard when he was 18 years old. And he looks, they live on a little cliff, and he looks down, and he sees this thing. It looks like a cross between a dog and a wolf running on two legs. It's about 7 feet tall. The paws are about a foot wide, and it's a dog man. And he describes it, and I get the description down. And then I say, can I call you tomorrow? I called him the next day, and I got the description again. It was the same exact one that he had given me. So my artist is in the process of drawing this entity that this guy saw. And I'm excited because I have not seen. Now, Matt, tell me if I'm wrong. But I do not know many descriptive dogman sightings, do you?
Some. I'm quite a bit, but it's usually like a German Shepherd head, bulky upper body, super fast, have a tail, canine-like legs.
That's exactly what he saw. But my artist is going to draw it, and we're going to have as close to a photograph. It won't be a photograph, but it will be a recollection that this guy has of this dog man, and I have a feeling that this picture is going to go viral because he said the picture, he said the face was that of a wolf. And he said, and John, for about a minute, we locked eyes, and I was scared to death. Got it.
But I seen a picture in Harlan, Kentucky. This man had approached me, him and his wife. He's an older gentleman, and he had a picture on his phone he wanted to show me. And it's probably the clearest picture I've ever seen of a dog man. But this looked like a German Shepherd head. Now, most of the body was covered up because it was this old church that was burnt down, and it was behind the concrete, but it was peeking around. And the head looked just like a German Shepherd, but it was much bigger than like a regular dog or whatever. And the height was probably around 6 foot or something, you know, up off the ground, and was looking up over this rock that he had there. And he said it left a three-toed track as well. So that's what I think is pretty interesting. A three-toed
I would be terrified.
Track. And, well, he said that he called it old three toes. And he said these Bigfoots have snouts and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, let me see the picture. You know, he showed me the picture. I said, that looks like what they call a dog man. And, I mean, it looked just like a canine, like a wolf head or a German Shepherd head. And he was telling me the way these babies and stuff, he said, well, they have, he's seen them when they're young, and he said they have like pig snouts, and they're not that much hair on them, and they got like a pig snout. So I don't know what, you know, I don't know what that is. You know, whenever you hear a description of like a pig snout and hardly no hair, but he says as they grow older, they get more developed and their snout kind of more like a canine. But he said it was like a pig snout, though, like a pig. Cross between a pig and a human.
I'm surprised that people have seen these and had the chance to walk away. That's kind of crazy, because if I saw something like that, I feel like I would just, I'd be in shock and probably wouldn't be able to move.
Well, Kyler, I've got news for you. About 30 people up at Land Between the Lakes have not walked away. That's the latest count. And Matt, do you remember that's what it was, Elijah said, 29 people, so I'll say there are 30 people that have not walked away.
Yeah, so, probably more than that, since they don't report it. Yep, at least. That's the same way in Portlock, Alaska, whenever they had all that. They left the whole town of Alaska, Portlock, up there, because within 15-year span, 36 people ended up missing or mutilated from what they call half-man, half-beast up there in Portlock, Alaska. The town is a ghost. It's a ghost town now. The people got up, and they packed up, and they got out of there. And I'm wanting to go up there. I'm going to try and make it up there next spring or summer.
Do you know if anyone's been up there recently for a trip like that? That sounds kind of interesting, actually.
Yeah, they've been doing shows and stuff up there. But I'm not sure, you know, how much they're actually, because a lot of these shows, you know, they'll just film a piece while they're there. And then who knows what they do after the film's running.
Right.
But I've got a friend that lives up in Alaska, and she said that she would show me around, but she warned me. She said, don't go down there. She said, all the locals, all the people know about it. And she told me that you will end up dead. She said, either a boulder will go through your tent or something. She's like, keeps warning me not to go there. She said, she can show me some stuff up there, but just don't go. But I'm wanting to go. I'm wanting to hit the hot spots.
Yeah, you tell someone not to do something, and they're probably going to do it.
Yeah. I mean, if it kills me, it kills me. At least I go out trying to figure out, unless I'd hate to go out with a boulder, but I'd like to at least be looking that thing in the eyes before it rips me apart. But,
well, let's put it this way. Matt, let's put it this way. I'm a member of the H.P. Lovecraft Society. You know, Howard Phillips Lovecraft, the great science fiction and fantasy writer, and he made a statement in one of his books, and it's true. He said, something's going to kill you anyway, so you may as well enjoy it.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what H.P. Lovecraft said. Crazy man.
Well, if you do end up going up there, Matt, you should definitely record the entire thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, most definitely. I got a lot of people wanting to go with me. So I'm going to try and get it planned. I was supposed to do it this spring, but a lot of stuff happened this past year, and I wasn't able to. But I've got a lot of people that want to go as well.
You can go to Alaska. I am going to Aurora, Texas, Lubbock, Texas, and Marfa, Texas. That's my trip coming up. So, I mean, you can go to Alaska. I'm going to Texas, and I am absolutely – going to Aurora, Texas. There is something bad there, and on my way, I'm gonna probably drop by the prison in Louisiana and see if I can meet Roy Farrell. See if he'll come and let me talk to him, because there's something wrong with that whole case. And you know, we'll see. You know, this, and you know, Matt, don't you think this investigation stuff is really fun?
Oh gosh, yeah. My life is so. I wouldn't know what a normal life is. I wouldn't know what it's like to just go to work and go home and watch, you know, your little sitcom shows or whatever's on TV nowadays, and then go to bed, get up, and do it again. you know, I'm getting phone calls or text messages or something saying, hey, we got a witch over here. And, you know, just people could hear my conversation with these people, you know.
Well, all I got to say is if they're talking about the Bell Witch, stay away.
I was stay this weekend. Supposedly there in that county that I live in, there's a witch grave that's kind of hidden, and I was trying to find it over the weekend, but it's too grown up, and they got it gated off. But supposedly the tombstone's got a pentagram on it. It says witch, and then it's, I don't know, it must have the name or something. But I was trying to find it. I'll have to wait till the fall, though, because it's so grown up back in there that I wouldn't be able to locate an old cemetery, you know. But whenever it gets fall, you can bet I'm going to be in there.
You better be careful. That's all I got to say. You better be careful about them witches, man, especially the Bell Witch. Oh, my God. But anyway, what would you rather do, Kyle? What would you rather do?
I was just thinking I think I'd rather go to Alaska than go look for a witch.
Well, you don't know what you're looking for up there.
Yeah, I think that's the piece that, you know, sounds better, is I don't really know what I'm looking for.
You might end up looking directly at a dog man from 3 feet away. And that's
mm-hmm.
not something that you want to do. That's not something you want to do, correct? Is that correct, Matt? Matt, are you there?
I think that's something he would want to do.
If Matt's still with us, I mean, he might have dropped off.
Yeah, his call probably dropped. Yep.
It might have. Oh, did he send you a text?
No, it kind of sounded like he might have dropped his phone or something, because I heard.
Well, he's still, it just dropped. Okay. So anyway, I guess on that note, we'll say thank you, Matt Delf, for being here tonight. Our hour is up anyway. We've had a great time. We'll have you back, and it's been fun talking about all this stuff that we do. And I guess you and I are a couple of the bad boys. We're going to go out, and we're going to do something regardless. So anyway, Matt Delf from Ewing, Virginia, thank you so much for being with us. Oh, and he's here. Oh, he's back. So I'll get to say – well, now, Matt, I was saying goodbye and thank you for being here, but you're back. No, he's not.
Is he?
Dropped again. he was back for a second. He dropped again. So I guess we'll have to say goodbye for now. We'll see everybody next week. Houston Bigfoot, same bat time, same bat channel. We'll have another extremely interesting show. I promise. Don't you, Kyler?
Always.
All right. Take care, everybody. Have a great night, and thank you for he just sent me a text that he lost internet service. You know, here we are. We're still dependent on the internet. So thanks a lot, everybody. We enjoyed it. We'll see you next week. Houston Bigfoot, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central Time, and you can find everything on ScaryCast. Be good. Bye-bye. Bye, Kyler.
Night, everybody. Good night.